everyone, and welcome to Minute 14 of Season 12 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we dig our way through the 1994 film The Shawshank Redemption, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again is Lisa Leahy, a podcaster who's currently on sabbatical. Welcome back once again, Lisa.
Thank you. This is the best week ever. Like, it's not as exhausting as my usual school weeks. This is seeming very cool and just chill and kind of following my way through. I like this.
Yes, it is good. And, you know, you're on sabbatical, so, you know, you can have fun watching prisoners get...
I would say that's terrible, but people who know me understand that this is right in my wheelhouse. We do misery and suffering here. That's what we do.
That's right. Okay, that makes sense. You know, anyone who knows you knows that you like misery and suffering. I mean, I'm surprised.
I feel like I would be.
I wasn't surprised. I was surprised that misery was not on your list of adaptations.
I like the supernatural, and that's why. Like, misery is brilliant. Kathy Bates is incredible, like off the charts to 11 kind of thing, but I will always default to something supernatural.
Okay, fair enough.
Although I do teach a unit called People Are Scary in my haunted scenes class, so maybe I should consider misery next year.
There you go, Annie Wilkes.
Yep, incredible.
I think I
plus, you know, I need to make sure I'm a little different than everybody else. I don't want to have the same list.
That's true also. I'm trying to think. I just saw something recently. I can't remember what it was, where one of the characters' name was Annie Wilkes. And I was like, that is definitely a misery connection.
Yes. Yes.
I can't remember what that was. Huh. I can't remember right now. I watched, this is not a complaint, but I watch a lot of movies. So, yeah. I don't
remember. Good.
All the time, you know, which ones I'm referring to.
Yep, and you're not. I mean, definitely, if it's Annie Wilkes, it's a King reference.
Oh, for sure. And it was definitely within the last month. So, yeah. Maybe could it have been? Jay had gotten me to watch the song Monkey, the show, the movie Monkey.
Oh, the yeah.
I think that's where it was.
I think you're right too, and yeah, that's Osgood Perkins. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, it was. Okay. I knew that it was there somewhere. You know, it's just a question of pulling that out of the ether.
Well done.
Yes. Well, I had to think back as to wait a second, what Stephen King movies have I seen recently? And you know, when Jay 2 weeks ago suggested Monkey.
So Jay watched the Monkey? Wow.
It was on his top five.
Oh, this is not the same movie then. Oh, no, it is. It is. You're right. It is a Stephen King story. I forgot about that. God, interesting. Yeah, that's not my Osgood Perkins. I like the darker stuff.
That's fine. That's
fine. Thank you. That's fine.
Well, what am I supposed to tell you? I don't like the dark stuff. That's fine. You know? Or, sorry, I sometimes like dark stuff, but not supernatural.
Yeah.
You know? Whatever. That's why I prefer movies like Shawshank, Stand By Me, After You,
yes.
The Long Walk.
God, that one is incredible. I thought about putting that on my list. I did. I thought that was probably like a number six, because I will forever be flabbergasted that it took so long for that novella to be adapted into a film.
Because it's not an easy one to do.
How? It's so simple, though. It really is easy.
No, because most of the time you got all these guys just walking, and you have to, and whatever the novella has 100 characters, and here they chop it down to 50 in the movie.
Yeah, and the casting, my God, I wanted David Johnson to get a nod. Like, he was just amazing in that film. I don't know. I love. I think that adaptation was incredible.
Yeah, I really like that. I'm also a big fan. I'm a big fan of all the Bachman books. But I love Rage. But I know that Rage will never be made into a movie.
Nope. No, it will not.
About that. But it's still an amazing story that was written
yes.
in like 1982 or whatever it was.
Yes.
You know? And it's scary how it's, you know, unfortunately still relevant today. You know, Still makes
Yep.
a lot of sense.
Yep.
Even he was ahead of his time, or I don't know if ahead of his time, but he's he made an evergreen story, unfortunately.
I do.
All right, so minute 14 begins with the prisoners awaiting instructions and ends with Norton talking about his beliefs. So we ended things yesterday with the 14 new prisoners standing on the yellow line, waiting for instructions. And Hadley walks over to them and starts looking at them. And when he's satisfied that everyone is in their place, he walks to the side, and then we can see from the back that there's someone here.
Emerging from the shadows.
That's right. And it's the warden, Norton, and not Ed Norton, but just trying to remember if we find his first name. I'm trying to think of it right now. I'm
Don't know if
assuming,
we ever get one.
I'm pretty sure we do.
I know it's Byron Hadley, but I don't think we get Norton's first name.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I'm getting there. Hang on, I'll get you there. Why can't I find it? No, it just says Warden Norton. Although it
Samuel.
does say
Samuel.
Captain
Samuel.
Hadley, so.
Samuel. No, it's Samuel. Samuel Norton.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you can see it on the records that he
Oh,
that
okay.
he writes up and stuff like
Makes
that.
sense.
It is mentioned at some point. I mean, again, now that I'm now that I found it, so I was like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then Warden Samuel Norton steps forward and goes, "This is Mr. Hadley. He's captain of the guards. I'm Mr. Norton, the warden. You are convicted felons, and that's why they've sent you to me. Rule number one, no blasphemy. I'll not have the Lord's name taken in vain in my prison." So it's very interesting, the idea of him, just saying blasphemy. Like, what do you think he's referring to?
Well, it's biblical.
Of
Like,
course.
it's interesting because he's breaking the first commandment because, thou shalt not have any gods before me, but he's setting himself up as a god.
Okay, but he's not. Yes and no, because again, the second one is don't take the Lord's name in vain.
Yeah, but he still is like, when it comes down to it, yeah, you're not going to take the Lord's name in vain, but I'm going to make sure I put that rule on you. So I don't know. I feel like there's definitely elements here where a guy who is as religious as Norton claims to be and purports to be, he definitely plays with that first commandment a bit.
Okay. Obviously, again, we know that he's corrupt. He's not,
Yeah. He
he's
is not noble at
far
all.
from perfect.
Right.
The question is, what is he referring to when he says, that is considered, like what words would you refer to if someone is saying
Oh.
that it's blasphemy?
Well,
Is he
anytime
saying
you.
God, or is he saying Jesus Christ? Like, what's
All the
his?
above. When you take the Lord's name in vain, the only time you should be invoking the Lord's name is when you're praying, or elevating him in some way. And anytime you use it otherwise, you are not being respectful. So it could be as a curse, it could be, usually that's what it means. It means any kind of curse word. Even if you say, like, oh my God, that's taking the Lord's name in vain.
Yes, it is. And there are also lots of countries that have laws about it. There are 60 countries around the world that enforce prison sentences for blasphemy.
Really?
And then there are another 19 that have heavy fines or administrative penalties.
Interesting.
So the the Middle East and North Africa. 100% of all of the countries around have Islamic any country that has active laws protecting Islam or have blasphemy laws in them.
Okay.
You
Makes
have
sense.
places like Indonesia in the Asia Pacific area, which also have the idea of criminalizing blasphemy with multi-year prison terms.
Wow.
You also have them in India. Again, the idea, I mean, each of these countries have different gods that are being blasphemized, but
Right. Yeah, it's not the Christian God. Yeah.
that's right. It's a different god each time, but the idea. So the idea of blasphemy laws are laws that aim to protect religious ideas, deities, and doctrines from insult.
Yeah, I mean that includes, obviously not, it's not more, it's more than just, cursing that way, but I mean any kind of, depiction against the religion or against those particular gods and stuff, all of that can be considered blasphemy. Somebody who dresses up as Jesus Christ for like Halloween, that, excuse me, would be considered blasphemous.
Exactly.
In those countries with those legal contexts.
That's right. That's right. And again, the idea is, not being able to you defame the name of God or Allah, Muhammad, Jesus, things like that. That's the idea here. So it's interesting that, I mean, obviously, Norton is referring to, the Christian God. There's no question about that.
Right.
He that's all he's really going to care about here from that perspective. And we'll see some examples of it later in the movie when Hadley swears and someone says, I'm going to tell the warden you said that.
Yep.
Yeah, that's you're not supposed to say like God damn it and things like
Exactly.
that. That's the idea of what they're talking about. So then he continues with his diatribe, and he goes, the other rules you'll figure out as you go along. Any questions? And it's just very funny the way that he does this because he basically just told them one rule.
That's the only one they need to know, and you'll figure them out because we'll beat it out of you.
That's right. That goes back to when you talk about a few good men,
Right.
well, follow the crowd to where the mess hall is, follow the crowd when giving code reds, things like that.
Absolutely.
And you see some of the guys eyeing Norton, like
Yeah.
there's one guy in particular, two away from Andy, who's who's eyeing him, and he's the guy who asks the question. So when we
Right. Well, because Norton says to him, it's like, oh, are there any questions? This guy does not want questions, but he says it, and then this guy, steps in it.
correct. Well, you need to have a sacrificial lamb to show
Yeah.
everyone that we mean business, that type of thing.
Here's how it works.
And the
And
guy goes,
Norton barely moves,
that's right.
right? Like Hadley
Well,
turns his
yes and
head
no.
and
Yes and no. Well, no, it's Norton turns his head. That's the thing.
well, it's like a
So,
slight turn.
right. So the con goes, when do we eat? And the Norton like looks away, giving a little bit of a signal to Hadley, it's your turn to take over here.
Yep.
And I don't want to be a part of this.
And then more rules come up.
That's right. And then Hadley goes over to the guy and screams at him, and he goes, "You eat when we say you eat. You when we say you, and you piss when we say you piss. You got that, you maggot dick mother." And then he hits him with the club in the stomach.
Yep.
Obviously, the guy just screams out in pain for obvious reasons. And he curls up and falls to the ground. Now, what's interesting is that when he falls, he doesn't like drag the guy next to him down, even though
I
they're.
was thinking the same thing. Yes. I was like, what is this? They never show that continuity.
That's right. You'd
It's so
think
funny.
that
Like, you
someone
figure the
else
other
is.
guys would
That's right. The two guys
jump
on the
down a little
inside.
bit.
That's right. But nope.
Never happens.
Doesn't happen. Doesn't happen at all. And there's nothing you can do that.
That's so fun. I'm so fun. I think it's great you just said that because I was like, yes, that I was going to bring it up.
Then screams to him and goes, "On your feet. What do you know about billy clubs?"
Nothing.
Okay. When do you think they started using billy clubs? Or let's say, well, what other names are there for a billy club? Let's start with that.
Nightstick,
Okay.
a baton.
Very good.
I think that's all I got.
And a truncheon,
A truncheon, truncheon.
truncheon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And it was a weapon that originated in the 19th century as the first standard less lethal weapon issued to police in order to maintain public order.
Makes sense.
The term billy club itself comes from there was a burglar's tool that was known as a billy. It's a burglar's crowbar or a prying tool.
Oh, okay.
Started using that name for the nightstick that the police were starting to get to use, which was a common trend at the time that they would name these things after men's names.
Okay, that's
Okay.
interesting.
Like a Jack, a Jimmy, things like that. Do you know French? I mean, I don't.
Some, yeah.
Okay.
I've got quite the streak on Duolingo.
Okay, so do you know what you would call a thick stick of wood?
No. Bois, Bois is going to be
Why don't
wood,
you,
but that's.
well, why don't you give a guess? What could it
I
be?
can't. Because I can't come up with the other words.
Course you can. Of course you can. It's called a billy.
Is it real?
Billy. Yes.
Really? Oh, that's funny. Well, that'll be where the word came from then. I like that.
Yeah, there's also another theory that it came from that it was originally called a bully club.
Okay. Yep, I've heard that too.
And that they just changed the name of it. And that it's the ceremonial stick that they would give to the college captain.
Eek, ceremonial.
Yeah.
Is that like the paddle in Dazed and Confused?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yikes.
Yeah, so they rarely use them nowadays, ever since all the riots and a lot of the, I guess, fights against protesters in the 60s, it became less prominent ever
Well,
since then.
tasers. I feel tasers
Well,
would
okay.
probably be, because you don't have to be as close to somebody to use a taser.
That's true.
Whereas a billy club, you have to be within reach, so it ends up being safer for the officers with.
If you've seen The Hangover, then you know all about for obvious reason.
Yes.
Hadley screams at the guy, "On your feet." And Norton is back. He turns his head back towards everyone and he goes, "I believe in two things: discipline." And then he gets cut off. And people are going to have to come back tomorrow to find out what that second thing is because, he's not going to tell it today. He's going to make
Cliffhanger.
you wait. He's going to make you wait. All right. Is there anything else you want to discuss about this particular minute?
Nope, all good on this one.
All right. So we will start with today's segment, which is called Andy Do Thursday,
Yes.
where my guests will give their top five Tim Robbins performances. So
Yes.
start with your number five and work your way up, please.
So I am going to pull Arlington Road from the depths of the late 90s.
I love that movie.
It's a good movie, but it's kind of forgotten. I don't think people remember that movie. And I came upon it recently. I just rewatched it. I want to say I caught it on Prime. I was like looking for thrillers. And it was like, oh yeah, I remember that one. Let's watch that. And so I really liked him in that. Obviously Shawshank. I have to include Shawshank on the list here. Jacob's Ladder. I mean, talk about psychological chaos and what a performance from him. in Jacob's Ladder. I mean, just such a dark, I mean, like the experience of being the character and the experience of watching the film. Oh, good God. And then for a slightly more random character, I think he's hilarious in High Fidelity. It's like the hipster ponytail pretentious neighbor that his ex is now dating. I don't know, I remember seeing that movie and just being like, oh my God, it's Tim Robbins. It's like, what kind of a dick is he playing now? But my favorite for him is Mystic River. I just think that, you know, the performance he put in there. Why am I having a weird moment of fear that he's not in Mystic River?
Oh,
He
he is.
is, right?
He won it.
Well, I, oh
He
my
won an
God,
Oscar.
my,
He won
I
an Oscar.
know, but my brain for a minute, this is what my Sunday afternoon has become. I had a moment of, wait a minute, wrong guy. And I was like, no.
Oh, no.
That, oh God, that's another one of those films where the book, the adaptation and the book are right on par with each other. And I think a lot of that has to do with the casting. And just I love Denis Lehane. I his books are fantastic. That's one of his standalones. Shutter Island is another standalone, and I don't like that adaptation. But he had a series of detective books, the Kenzie and Gennaro books. If you ever watch Gone Baby Gone, that's book four in that series.
Oh,
And
really?
I for the rest of my life, I'll say Ben Affleck screwed up because he could have had a franchise on his hands if he had started with the first one, and he started with number four. And Morgan Freeman is in that movie. But oh, Mystic River, you know, what Eastwood did with that, what Robbins and Kevin Bacon and Sean Penn did with that movie, it just so good, so intense. So that's my top one for him.
All right, excellent. All right, now we will play the daily game that Lisa hates called High Low.
I'm not good at this game. It's very bad.
Okay. So let's spin the wheel and see what her first of three choices are going to be.
Let's embarrass me again.
Okay, the 2003 film Lost in Translation.
Oh, that one's got a 93%.
95, very good, very good.
Okay. And an 8.8.
7.7. This is the second time that you've said 8.8 for a 7.7, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's interesting.
At least you're consistent.
Yes, that I will say that for me. I am that.
Right, let's spin the wheel for your next one.
I am consistently wrong in all the same ways.
Okay, the 1954 film On the Waterfront.
Oh, 94%.
99.
Okay. I felt like I was going low, but I didn't know if people would go high enough for that one. And 8.9.
8.1.
Get out. 8.1. That's too low.
All right, let's spin the wheel for your final one today.
I should go run next door to my to my room. I have the top 250 poster. IMDb puts out and be like, wait, is it on this list? Let's see where it is.
And does it have the number as to what it is?
I don't remember. I can go look.
All right, the 1956 film Giant with James
Oof,
Dean.
okay. I'm gonna say, ooh, I don't know what my gut says on this one. 87%.
89, very good.
Okay. And 7.3.
7.6.
Okay. And no, the poster does not have the numbers on it.
No. Oh, you've already checked. Wow.
I just, yeah, I ran next door to check, and it only has the top 100 of the top 250, so.
And but on those, it does have the number or not?
No, it does not have the number.
Oh, okay. So that doesn't help anyway.
No. I mean, I could see if it was in the top half of the top 250, well, not even the top half, the top
And again, the question is
third-ish.
when it's from.
Right.
Because the
They're
top
out of whack.
movies keep changing.
Yep. That
Yeah.
too.
Right. And now we'll play the second game, the one that you like a little better.
Yes.
Name that book adaptation. So let's spin the wheel and see what you got.
My chances are better in this game.
Okay, this is a movie that came out in 2016, and the original novel was called Tony and Susan.
I don't have the faintest idea.
Okay, the movie was directed by Tom Ford and stars
Okay.
Amy Adams.
Amy Adams? It was 2016? No, I don't know.
Okay, Nocturnal Animals.
Oh, no. No, I never saw that.
I saw it, did not like it at all.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of it. But again,
No.
these are not lists of movies that I particularly like or dislike. You know, they're...
Yeah. I mean, if you had told me Nocturnal Animals and asked me to name a single person in that movie, I wouldn't have been able to. I
okay.
didn't connect
That
Amy
wouldn't
Adams with that film.
have Yeah, that wouldn't have worked.
Nope.
Not at
Well, at
all.
least I'm getting challenging questions on this, because this
Okay.
is a category I should be good at.
Well, I'm giving you suggestions of things that you
Yeah.
possibly would like to seek out. I'm not
Yes.
necessarily saying they're good or bad, but you should seek them out. All
I agree. It's
right.
good to learn new things.
Yes, always. That is always true. All right. So, since we want to learn something new, let's learn where people can find Lisa.
I don't know how new that is, but you can find me on some back episodes on rabbitholepodcast.com. Lots and lots of shows to choose from, whether you like music or TV or movies. We've got a book club in there. We've got what we call Sporadicast, where somebody comes up with, hey, I just want to talk about this thing once. So we'll have an episode about that. So that's a kind of fun, potpourri sort of show because, when we feel like it, when somebody has an idea, we do an episode. It's not a regular podcast. So that one's kind of neat if you like listening to random things. And, as I've said before, you can catch me popping up randomly on other people's podcasts, like Rob's podcast and the Lambcast.
Right, excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram, you can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to moviearoundminute@movieround.net. So Lisa, you feel like coming back again tomorrow to find out what Norton's second rule is?
I don't think I can wait that long. I may have to look it up.
Or his second belief,
His
not
second belief. I mean, I don't know. I'm gonna try. I'm gonna try and hold back and not look too early.
All right, great. So until tomorrow, get busy living.
Or get busy dying.